Okay. Should be picking up.
Okay, I'm good to go here. I have it on low power mode, hopefully.
Okay, we have everything we need.
Grab Louis' cone. Let's do that. Let's cone him up so we could sit and relax. Here, baby. Here, my boy. I'm gonna unleash you, my boy, but I'm gonna put the cone on you. Here. Good boy, Louis.
I don't know if this is poop or soil or mud. There's a lot of it.
Good boy, Louis. His eyes are still a bit irritated, huh?
It must His have. That's a pretty dingy bench.
Yeah. As opposed to the rest of our high-class setup. I don't like clutter on the table of the recording.
It's not too cluttery.
No, just these unnecessary things.
Look at you leading by example.
You good, my boy? Alright, we're good for the clap?
I clapped already, but I can clap again. That's certainly less cluttery than my mug.
No, I didn't mind the mug. It was the keys, the leash, the...
Yeah.
I don't mind the mug.
Is that what we're doing today?
The attitude is taking up a lot of the table. Check the... Everything is good with the sound.
It's called mic check in the entertainment industry. Yeah, it's all good.
Okay.
What is that? It looked like I was at a club and I was stamped. Do you see it? It's like a red... Rash.
Looks like you irritated it.
Yeah,
some kind of insect from your outdoors excursions. All right, let's jump into it then, because it's not like we're gonna segue into this.
But what do you think of the setup? Is it good? Is it good enough? Is it?
Get out of here. Okay. So.
We have a lot of work.
We did want to start today with this concept of good enough. And personally, it's been something that has plagued me for my entire life. And it's just more recently that it really dawned on me how you know something at a certain level, but it takes so much time for it to sink in and become embodied and actually believe it, right? From the moment of, I don't want to say realization, but something like realization to the moment of belief. It's a long journey. It's always something that I've struggled with on a personal level. I don't want to bring up the, it's just a cool color. It's like golden. It's an ant, it's a golden ant.
Is that a fire ant? We don't have
fire. Somebody's about to die.
Should we try to get it to bite us to see what kind of pain? If it's like a bullet-like pain, it's a bullet ant. And if it feels like a burn, you get a burning sensation, it's a fire ant.
I will stand behind that experiment.
No, stand in front.
Nope, I'm certainly okay. Behind on this.
So realization versus belief. Yeah.
Is that Benadryl?
No, it's like Cheetos. There's a lot of red candy-like things in here.
Yeah, there's even cocaine over here.
Yeah. Tried to blow it off, but it's firm in there. Let me try to snort it, maybe.
I don't want to get into what it means for a person to be good enough. But I do want to get into the idea of what you do being good enough. Right, and part of the struggle is that there was always this underlying feeling that it's not good enough. Whatever I do, and I know I share this with probably most people, the vast majority of people aren't content with their performance, where they are in their lives, what they're doing with their time, blah, 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 right? There's this feeling of falling short all the time. There's this feeling of not meeting expectations. You do that in a lot of people, excuse me, who have high expectations, right? They have high standards. They always fall short of their own standards. I have this, there's this funny thing at work where it's a bit preposterous, where you rate yourself in your performance review as meets expectations or exceeds expectations or doesn't meet the expectation. And it's like, my boss would always laugh because it's like, it's so funny how people are. Like, people like you will always say under, either meets expectations or doesn't meet expectations. But I can never say, oh my God, I exceeded my expectations this year, because it's never something I can exceed.
And then you can tell a lot about people based on their
And then he would compare.
Greatness.
He would say, and then you have like Dave, yeah, it's just exceeded all expectations. But it's,
but you realize
it's your
we're
expectations.
All liars. You're a liar, and Dave is a liar. Because you can never answer this honestly.
That's the thing, is that the question itself shouldn't exist.
I don't know.
To begin with.
It's if it's producing results as interesting as you mentioned, maybe it should exist.
Yeah, but it's telling you a lot about the person, but it's not telling you much about
then
a performance.
Why not? What is the problem?
Because that performance, that one metric, will determine whether or not you get the raise. So that my boss would always be like, yeah, definitely everybody exceeded expectations. Year after year, you guys keep exceeding. Your own, mine, the company's expectations. Damn, it's a nice, constantly growing team and personalities. But yeah, the point being that some people can never exceed their own Actually, I don't think your own expectations should be exceeded. They're not high enough.
And I'll give you another example that I can relate to what you're saying is. I wanted to learn a new language. I wanted to learn French. You're familiar with that. I got that Rosetta Stone. This is sponsored by Rosetta Stone, right? We're not getting... Are they not paying us?
I don't think so.
Is anybody, is anybody paying us? We're not getting paid for this at all?
I think we're paying a lot of money. I think we
got the Rosetta Stone, and part of the journey towards learning a new language is that you need to, as you get to level one, before you get to level five of fluency, you need to practice here. And I feel like this is never good enough, because the standard that you set for yourself is you want to learn the language, but you don't want to try and practice here because it's not good enough. And I don't want to be seen saying something that isn't good enough, that is perhaps grammatically incorrect or phonetically incorrect. I need to have the good accent, pronunciation, and structure. Right, I need to have that, but I'm never gonna get there if I don't try at level one, right? And I got up to level four, and I'm like, I got to a point where I'm understanding relatively well, but I cannot speak because I never tried. Because I could never be like, okay, this is good enough. I'm at level one, this is good enough. Let me go with it. Let me live at level one for a moment and experience that, to gain
the mistakes of level one. Confront the shortcomings of level one, yeah.
And you commit to level five, but it's just, you want to be here, and you want to be a black belt in karate overnight. And that's where you want to be, and you never try a white belt. Mm. You do a roundhouse kick, and it looks horrible, it's not effective, it's not potent.
Yeah, and we'll definitely...
You fall on your ass.
We'll definitely circle to this idea of fear of failure as one of the most potent deterrent to progress in general. We are all deathly afraid of failure, so we would rather just stay with the status quo. Status quo does not challenge you. Status quo is comfortable. Status quo is what you know. Status quo is what you do. Status quo is meets expectation, right? You're here, there's a stagnation to it. It's in the name of status quo. And it helps for me to imagine status quo, it helps to conceptualize it. Are these people coming towards us?
Could be. But what do you mean, these people?
Are we being invaded? You're okay, baby. Stay with me. Good boy. It helps to imagine status quo as an entity, a living, breathing entity. Just like we imagine so many things, like we personify things, like when we talk about Satan, for instance, right? It's a personified entity. And it helps to think of status quo as having a will of its own. And it helps to think of status quo as an entity that wants, like all entities, like all living and breathing entities, that an entity that wants to survive, that wants to perpetuate itself. Status quo has a stake in the outcome. It wants to stay alive. It wants to anchor itself in your life. And so there's this huge force that you have to battle. It's like the problem of inertia.
It's comfortable.
An object in motion stays in motion, right? And an object that's just sitting around is most likely gonna just stick around and sit around. It helps to think of, you have this huge force that you have to battle in order to make any kind of progress, right?
You it's are like, the force.
You are.
Right? Because you have to get a move on. And it's if you're in your place, you might think it's very hard to get moving. But what you're battling is the need to be stationed where you are, the need for sloth, the need for comfort. It's like, I'm here and the status quo is here. There is the do nothing that you need to battle with a force. There has to come a force. And it takes a lot of force to fight the status quo, to fight the stationary situation.
And maybe a better analogy than the one I gave would be the gravitational pull. If you think of status quo as this just well, this deep well that's just attracting matter onto it.
Black hole?
No, just a massive object that you're attracted, you're pulled towards, that just reels you in. You need a lot of energy in a different direction for you to escape that, right? Like we're talking space rocket type of energy, right? The type of energy that we must burn to escape that gravitational pull. And so we have to look at this idea of status quo as an entity that is trying to keep us within its orbit, to keep us within our stagnant.
But with both analogies you used, the gravitational pull is it's not the force, it's the rocket fuel or the rocket and all the energy it takes to hit a certain trajectory that you need to at a certain velocity, certain momentum, certain angle. Momentum, certain
that's,
angle
that's
to escape. But that is that's entails the force that you need against the non-force. Because gravity is not a force. Right?
Yes.
The well established, the bending of space-time.
Conventionally,
is a fabric
we do
mass.
Call it a force. We call it a weak force.
It's Newtonian. In a sense,
yeah, it's not
to
a
get
force,
you to get you to understand how, to get you to understand the force that you need.
It helps conceptually.
To escape this
is it a force?
Attraction.
No, but is it helpful to think of it as a force? Probably, right? It can help in our understanding.
It is helpful to think that it's a force.
But yeah, it's not a force in the same way that the force that's helping you escape it is a force. It's
but
not.
Just bringing this back, because now
welcome
we're getting
to this
into
physics,
the tangent of
podcast
the physics lesson that we're not qualified to have, clearly.
Physics of 101,
Going back to status quo and the fear of failure, because that's one variable in the, like, two large variables that keep the status quo and keep you locked in to this comfort zone that you're in. It's the fear of failure on one side, which I want to elaborate on, and then also the need for instant gratification. You want the black belt in karate. I want to learn French, but I want to learn it tomorrow. And if I don't get to it tomorrow, it's not worth committing to. And that's why we find ourselves locked in on all these comforts of instant gratification and living in 2023 in a developed country. That is where we are in the US, developed country. We have access to anything we want, to a lot of things. We have a lot of options that give us instant gratification. And why need discipline? If my comfort zone makes life so easy, if you will, with Prime, and so why discipline ourselves to get a black belt in karate? Ugh, can I get that in a 2-day shipping? If I can't, maybe I should just order the uniform. It gets here in 2 days, free shipping. I'm good. But I don't want to, we can dive into that later. I want to talk about the fear of failure and that keeps you in the status quo and link it back to the example that I brought forth of trying to learn French. And I bring that about because I relate to it so much, obviously. But the fear of failure
wasn't as bad as the repercussions of failure. And that's the egotistic part of it, right? It's not that I don't mind failing, but the self-conscious element and the insecurities of it all comes through the rattling and the nagging.
Yeah,
comes from
the
repercussions. Like, people are going to laugh at me. I can tell.
But that's
like, even
part
when
of
I speak French,
I mean,
you're fluent in French. Yes. You were raised in a French with a French language around French-speaking people. But even when I say something, and I know you don't mean it necessarily, but it comes out wrong, and I'm already like embarrassed, shameful. So you can't help.
You're just kidding
link.
Me. Did you remember? You don't remember what you used to do to me
with your Arabic.
No, with my English.
With your English?
When I first came here.
I do remember what I used to do.
Oh, you do? I used to have nightmare. I used to be completely paralyzed. I was already of the nature of, like my dad, like what you're describing, of not being able to speak. I came, I was, my understanding of English was great. My written, reading.
Just me in French?
No, much deeper than that, because we studied English in school. But
in English.
But we did not really speak English. Like the emphasis on oral communication was not there. It was mostly literature, like you're reading and then they're testing your understanding. But everything was written, right? So it was great with the written word. But come to speak of it, like there were only a few times where we had to...
Easy, love. What you doing, baby?
Where we had to actually just speak to each other in English or speak to the class in English. So when I came here, I was paralyzed by that notion of actually having to speak, right? I could understand what people were saying, mostly, although I had to get used to the American accent. But yeah, you used to, every time I made a mistake, you would hang it out there for everybody to see. Yeah. Look what she said, huh?
There is a chicken and egg.
Because you're
question.
Tapping into the shame.
Yeah, and it almost, it's like the natural instinct.
You're okay, stay. Good boy.
There's the natural instinct of, it's almost like the gazelle starts running. Instantly, the cheetah or the leopard, well, I don't know about a leopard, but a lion.
Of course, you're the cheetah in this metaphor.
I don't know, because I've been a gazelle too. Mm. I've been the gazelle, and I'm trying to tell you that when I speak French, I see it in you, because you see the shame.
Yeah,
you see
you
the hesitancy.
Into it, definitely.
You see and you turn to a lion, just instinctively.
You used to say, you had this thing where you're like, what did you say? But not, like, you would go very innocently that you didn't hear, oh my God, that was the cue that, he caught
and
me on.
And you probably relate to it in Arabic, too, when you try to come up with a verse or to say a song.
Or say something, yeah, just right? It happens a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
But the point is, all the things you're describing, you're saying, well, it's not a fear of failure, it's a fear of
the
repercussion.
There is the fear of failure.
No.
It's almost
the,
like
the fear
there
of
is
failure
the pain.
Is an umbrella.
There is the pain, and then there's your reaction or your experience of the pain.
But we're putting all of those under the umbrella of fear of failure, because that is what it is, right? It's not worth the distinction that you're trying to make. The fear of failure, the fear of not hitting the mark, it encompasses everything
but
that you're
there's
talking
the fear.
About.
And there's the failure. And I think, let's try to use the pain example with I'll post it, on the monk that was talking about when you're in pain, a lot of people think, okay, I don't want to think about the pain, which is true, you don't want to think about the pain. But doesn't mean that a lot of people mistake that of trying to get away from the pain. But no, you should be with the pain and stop thinking. Mm. Actually face it. It's your fear of the pain. Mm.
It's
if your fear of the experience of the pain that keeps you in pain, but you stop, it's like I'm afraid of spiders. You need to face it. You need to face your fears and you need to be with the pain. Mm. So there's the experience of the pain and there's the pain and there's the fear of the failure and the experience of the failure and there's the failure. You need to be with the failure and that's how you learn. You need to be like, okay, you eliminate the emotional side of it, but you failed in one way or another, and that's not something you want to escape, because how are you going to adjust? And it's a lot harder and easier said than done, but that's the idea. And yes, it's one umbrella. And just like we talk about the separation of the spiritual and the structural, it's one It's one. Individuation and
actualization.
It's one. But it's nice to separate them to make sense of things, right? Mm. Like, oh, thinking versus feeling, the I versus the self. And it's one psyche.
You should certainly work on understanding what it is that is stopping you. And it from individual to individual, that's going to change, right? We have different motivations. We have different limitations. We have different fears. There are people who are more deterred by something than other, more scared of something than other, right? It has so many facets, this idea of fear of failure. And yes, it's going to change from individual to individual, and we could discuss the different aspects of this fear. But ultimately, the experience and the thing itself, there isn't a difference between those two, because there's nothing I can comprehend outside of my own experience of it, right? Is there pain outside of my experience of pain? What does that even mean? I don't know how to even answer that question, right? But I can relate to, one example is the labor example, right? This idea that, oh my God, like, it's just the most painful thing you'll ever have to go through. And I like what you were saying about people always, because you're avoiding the pain, it's just going to hit you in a way that, like, you're not prepared for it. You're hitting a wall, right? There is this sort of immovable thing that you're confronted with. Mm. Instead of understanding that it's something that you go with, right? You're trying to go against. Specifically with the idea of labor, the contractions are, your muscles are trying to get this baby out of there and onto the world. And you're fighting against them. But the contractions are the movement outward for that child. If you go with them, if you breathe with the contractions, if you embrace them, and again, maybe that's a little bit vague for me. It's not really an experience.
It's good to think out loud about it.
It's the mindset prior really helps, right? Because everybody goes in there with, okay, so what do I have to do to avoid the pain? That's the mindset. And it's already the wrong mindset. It's already something that, one, I can't bear. That's not something I can bear. That's not something that I want to experience. That's something that needs to be avoided at all costs. And how do I medically make sure to numb that pain, right? Those are that's just the mindset that is by default in patients, so in women who are about to give birth, in doctors and staff. So this is how people are trained. They raise an eyebrow. What do you mean? You don't want to numb the pain. That's what we do. Let's just paralyze you from the waist down, and then we'll just pop that baby out. And
that is the less on the side of fear of failure and more on the side of instant gratification. You want a baby, but you want it. You want to skip what it takes.
You
want to make it as easy and as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
Is there a way to get to learn French? Just by keep it as easy as possible. I don't want to learn. I don't want to, like...
You don't want to put yourself
like,
in
like, think and process of what the structure should be and what the word is that I'm trying to grasp. I don't want to do a roundhouse kick 10,000 times to be a black belt at roundhouse kicks.
Yeah.
And this is more on the side of instant gratification. Mm. And it is, it keeps you from. Mm. Just as much as the fear of failure keeps you from. The constant want, it keeps you in that sloth. They are the two main arguments of ego, of Satan, that whispers you to remain in this gate of sloth, in this gate of hell, right? In this sinful state, because it does go against your sort of righteous duty to get up off your ass and actualize and be something, do something, be a positive contribution
of
in one way or another.
It's very easy for us to aim for the perfect, right? There is a natural way in which we all, just a compass points towards north, towards true north. Actually, no, that's not true north, but just a compass points you to the North Pole. We seem to be geared towards pointing to something akin to perfection, right? And there is something very natural about that. There's something very easy about that. Although we pride ourselves almost in having a great ideals, right, that nobody can ever meet, of course. But there's almost a sort of...
Isn't that the pointing?
What is it?
Isn't the striving for the great ideals, isn't that the pointing? Isn't that the compass?
So let me get to the point, because I'm not sure how to answer that within that context. So there is the... Okay, I have these ideals here, but what's a lot more difficult, the point that I'm trying to make, is that there is righteousness, there is value, there is virtue in the idea of the good as opposed to the idea of the perfect, right? We all know the saying of the perfect being the enemy of the good. That's a lot more true. But it applies.
A good quote.
So it's a lot more true than the bad being the enemy of the good, honestly. Mm. A lot of times in your journey, you will find that the perfect is going to be that ideal that you set, the ideal that you're proud of, the ideal that you want to be defined by, is going to be your obstacle towards progress, right? You want to be at level 5. How can you settle for speaking at level 1? That's just not, no way. I'm a level 5 kind of guy. I'm going to be right there someday. And
you're setting,
nothing
short of that
is good enough.
It's the failure of your own standards.
It's the failure of being where you are right now. It's the failure of understanding that things happen one step at a time. And however righteous, however illuminated your grand goals are, your grand ideals are, it's actually not as important as that next step that you have to take, right? In the grand scheme of things, the next step that you have to make that's so understated, because it's so unassuming. It's what? I was doing 5 push-ups, now I have to do 6 push-ups. It's just that incremental is so not romantic, right? Compared to our ideals, compared to these grand journeys that we want to take and these places we want to reach.
You
want to
be James Bond. He's in his Aston Martin and he crashes and totals it. He jumps on a motorcycle and he's like hopping, doing parkour with a motorcycle.
Meanwhile, the real heroes are...
And then he gets on a helicopter and he's flying a helicopter. You're like, when did you fucking learn all this shit?
Meanwhile, the real heroes are tamponné, double tamponné.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to discuss the value and the virtue of this idea of good enough. And I want to embed it in our history so deeply, because if you look at us as evolutionary beings, good enough is our evolutionary cry. Good enough is how we get here. Evolution is not waiting to attain perfection for anything to happen, or else nothing would obviously exist, right? Mm. Every step of the way, every incremental progress, every incremental change that happened, every mutation in our DNA, the good, the bad, whatever, that's how we label things, right? The ones that ended up having a positive outcome, the ones that ended up having a negative outcome, all of those changes are incremental, and all of those changes, when you reach a point of good enough for you to survive, good enough for you to reproduce, good enough for your genes to spread, you call it. In a way.
You call it. Really?
In a way. You have to think of it as, there is a settling.
I thought you were talking about every step being good enough.
Wait a second. So that your eyesight, right? There isn't a point where you're gonna improve your eyesight beyond a certain threshold. There is an asymptote, right? Of just, there's no such thing as a perfect vision. What is that? I don't even know what that would mean, right? But within the range of light, the wavelengths that you see, or the depth perception, it reaches a threshold of eyesight being good enough, right? You're not constantly looking to improve that. You know what I mean? There are other things that are happening, but it's not to say there is a settling. There is a...
Oh, you got... It's going so muddy.
Yeah, we'll clean it up. There is a...
How did you get sand on your snout?
there is a point beyond which it's good enough. My opposable thumbs allow me to handle tools, to make tools, to pass that on. So many aspects of our physical and beyond physical, including the psychological, the mental, cognitive elements, there is a good enough where you just settle. And it's good.
I'm struggling with it because maybe the concept of good enough has such negative connotations.
But it really does. This is what I'm trying to...
In everybody's head. Maybe I need to be deconditioned.
In everybody's heads.
But it's... I can't help but feel like it's not about the attainable. Nobody should go for the attainable. But I should have been a straight A student. But for me, the B was good enough. Every once in a while. I can have four A's and two B's. I'm good with that. And the only reason I'm not getting all A's is because four A's and two B's is good enough. There's no other reason. There's no other reason other than the fact that a 3.7 is, to me, good enough. And I don't need to go for the 4.0. Mm. And good enough is always tied to settling for less than. And I get what you're saying, because there is a truth to the fact that, okay, you got 20/20 vision. Well, stop shooting for 20/10. Mm. You're hitting perfect bullseyes or perfect free throws, or you're getting out of 1,000 dart shots, you're getting 9. That's good enough. Mm. And maybe it is, but there are certain things, like the top of the ladder, the top of actualization is a series of good enoughs that you have reached to be Achilles, to be to actualize into your full potential.
The best that you can be.
Maybe it should be asymptotal in nature, because you're never going to be, it's perfect. It's perfect. It has to be asymptotal. But by nature, asymptote is something that you will always get. Fragment by fragment, unit by unit, you're getting closer to it. Until you die.
Yeah,
you are
but
getting
the reality
closer
of
to
things
it.
Is that
and
we,
I can get level 5 in French, and that's the last level in Rosetta Stone.
We have to.
And I'm fluent. But until I die, I will continue having speech and learning new words. I'm fluent in English. And
you
my vocabulary is not impressive.
It has to do with, the problem is, you're right, in an ideal world, these things are true and you're always growing in all directions. But the reality of things is that you have limited resources, time being of the essence, of course, but other resources come into play as well, like cognitive resources and other things that you're working on. But there are always limiting factors to growth. In a certain direction. I can't constantly grow in all directions, right? There is a point where you do need to call it. It's not that, I'm not saying be close to learning, but it's just not an active pursuit anymore. Mm. When does a pursuit go from being an active pursuit where it's, okay, I'm learning French, I'm gonna dedicate 30 minutes a day for the next 3 years. I don't know. And then I'm gonna go to France for 6 months. And I'm going to try.
6 months in France?
And then I'm going to.
It's a long time in France.
It's a lot of. I'm going to gain a lot of weight. That was my first.
It's a lot of mustaches.
It's a lot of berets. But there is a point where it's, okay, you need to move on to the next adventure, to the next thing that's going to take up your time, that's going to take up your energy. You can't have a plan that's, okay, I'm going to work 30 minutes a day for the rest of my life on French, masalan. Mm. Right? It's not a very reasonable thing because of the limitations of time, your resources, and because of all the other things you're trying to do as well. I understand, it's a difficult thing.
I think I'm getting what you're getting at. When you go into, okay, you want to, when you think of your future self, your something you want to commit to, I want to commit to learn being fluent in French. Now, that is an area that should, my standards for, I have to define what is a perfect, what is the perfect thing that is unattainable, right? Being perfect in French. It's not about fluent. What's the absolute perfect being perfect in French. You know every word in the vocabulary. You're grammatically 100% correct. But then you get to, okay, now let me define the good enough. Something where I can stop. If I can, that's more attainable, right? Level 5. If I finish level 5 in Rosetta Stone and maybe do 6 more months of active communication in just pure French, I cannot use or use the aid of any of the other languages that I know fluently. I can't throw in an English word in there when I can't get to the French. Right? Let me do 6 months of every day, at least an hour. I'm talking to someone, you, Ayman, any of my cousins that speak French, in French. And I will call it. Calling it doesn't mean I just stop, right? Calling it means that I'm just talking, I'm speaking, I'm utilizing this thing that I developed.
You're accepting where you are. Yeah.
And, I get that, okay, I've reached somewhere good enough is what's so close on the asymptote of perfection that you can only imagine on top of this ladder of habits that you're getting up gradually to. But there has to be something where you give yourself a certification. This is the good enough. And you continue to go up.
School of good enough.
And I like that.
You have to define reasonable. Okay, we're all attracted to perfection. And the way we define perfection, it's not definable really, but usually it comes from emulating something that, masalan, for instance, I don't know why I keep saying that. For instance.
You keep saying for instance? Or masalan. That is for instance.
Masalan, the way we usually define perfection is by seeing something close to it and then trying to mimic that, right? For instance, with French, even I, as a native French speaker, I would read something, just the beauty and the mastery, and it's just so excellent, so perfect in its roundedness, in its flowiness, in its depth. So that becomes the epitome of the French mastery, for instance, right?
You getting there? Or as
no, I'm saying the perfection. Yeah, like the perfection is an example to emulate. Usually, because we can't define it as the metrics you were using, as in 100% of something. That's too abstract, right? Usually,
no, even your imagination, whatever you imagine as perfect, is attainable because you imagined it. So naturally, when you imagine it, you realize that it's even there is an openness to the fact that it's even bigger than that. If when you think of what God may or may not be, whatever you imagine. You can imagine things that are not attainable, but even what you imagine cannot be because you're imagining. And it's if there is a creator.
What you're imagining is too anchored in what you know here, right?
But it's like a goldfish imagining what a human may or may not be.
But it's okay, yeah, but it's okay. It's okay. This is the point that we're driving at, is that not only is it okay to fall short of your ideals, if you don't fall short of your ideals, then you didn't pick the right ideals. You did not aim far enough. You did not aim high enough. When I am sitting here trying to figure out the type of person I want to be, this is a person that's so far in so many ways from where I am today, right? The problem becomes reconciling this idea I have of where I want to be, of who I want to be, of the attributes I want to have, and being okay with who I am. There is a sort of difficult...
Okay with who you are, as in good enough, or okay with where you're going to be good enough?
No, okay with where I am today. There is this balance between accepting and pushing, between I need to be here, this is not good enough. This is the normal way of looking at things.
But what you said, what you talked about the perfection, and then you mentioned, so there's the perfection and there's where you are, and
okay,
that's
baby.
Where
you're
you
okay,
are
baby.
Is okay. But there is a third step of good enough. And that's something you should get to. That you believe it's okay. So you have the unattainable perfect right here. And then you have where you are. There is a, you should push yourself to get to a place that it's good enough. That's not where you are right now. And yeah, of course, you accept that where you are is good.
Stay.
No barking.
Stay with me.
No barking.
All right, baby, stay with me. Good.
Be nice, yeah, hello. Hey, be
get
civil, be quiet.
He's in sprint mode right now. Hey, he's coming. Enough. Enough, Louis.
Hey. Yell out.
There has to be a good enough that is in between that you need to push yourself towards. You need to help set up a routine to get one step by step to a good enough and realize that where you are is okay. And every step is good enough as you go up.
As long as the steps are coming. This is the key part.
As long as the steps are coming.
Like, what's good enough is the pursuit. Just to finish
my point of, here's where you are. There is three milestones here. You imagine what perfection may be. And then you define good enough to get to a place. You are here, but there's a place in between that is attainable to you. And that should be as very close to here and much less than here. Now, there are subtopics or subsections of good enough. That is every step of the way. That you don't want the fear of failure to stop you from going. Because even good enough, when you're here, when you're just starting, when you haven't started yet, is unattainable. And it's overwhelming and it's intimidating. So you want to realize that the one push-up is good enough. Mm. Like, it's good enough for me to take on that step. And it's not as intimidating. Mm. And that's what you're focusing on. Just the next step. Mm. The next step is always reachable. It's always attainable. And don't get me wrong, there's going to be a lot of force, especially when you haven't started, to take that first step. When you're on your ass, and what you're used to doing in this 30-minute mark is not exercising, let's say, or not learning French, or not going to the karate dojo for a black belt, for a white belt. Yellow belt is the first. You're actually still on your ass watching Netflix, eating popcorn, right? Yeah, it still takes a lot of effort to get to that first step.
You mean cornflakes?
For us, it's cornflakes. But you need to get there. You need to have your good enough. Your standards need to be so high that your good enough is a lot closer to the perfect that is unattainable than it is here.
Yeah, but there's also the fact, yeah, that's definitely true. And lost my train of thought. The next step is just, like I said before, there's something about it that we undermine it all the time. Again, status quo is pushing back when we're trying to exert any kind of push. And no, what's that gonna do? Really? The one more push-up? It's not gonna do anything. You might as well. There's this sort of, you're having this argument with yourself all the time. It's not gonna do anything. Come on, one more push-up. What's that gonna do? In the grand scheme of things, you might as well be sitting. So we're always undermining. There's a part of us that's undermining that small incremental next step. It's part of the unromantic, right? It's not gonna do anything. It's very, ugh. It seems like grind type of work. And
it depends, right? One push-up to me may seem like it's insignificant, but on the good enough for me, the good enough that the way I defined it, and I'm hopeful others will define it in the same way as a metric within our health side of our structure. Mm. But it's, I want to get to doing 10 push-ups with my palms on the ground and my feet, and both feet are in the air, and it's this plank position and I'm doing 10 push-ups. But I am fairly, relatively close to that when you're comparing me to the step of doing one push-up with both feet on the ground, right? Just a normal stance push-up. But that normal stance push-up may be so far that it may as well be unattainable for some, right? And it's not insignificant. And maybe their steps is, my first step, maybe one push-up or 10 push-ups even. But some people, their first step is to do it against the wall, right? And put your feet a couple of feet away from the wall, start with less, and then get to a point where you're on a counter. It's something sturdy, of course, and move into one push-up. That's perhaps step 7 or 10 for some people. Mm. And then go to 5. But to each their own on how they get to. But ultimately, when they have gotten to the first push-up, and it was such a journey for some, they will start believing in the good enough that I had defined, and maybe even set it up as a good enough standard for themselves. And good enoughs can always evolve.
Yeah, but they have to. Not only can they, but they have to. Because you don't want to aim. Like, to... Again, I'm trying to make sense of this. It's a very difficult concept. But is it not true that the further you are from your goal, the more likely you are to be discouraged, right? So if I can't do one push-up and I'm aiming for the 10 plank push-ups, the chance of me giving up along the way because I'm not seeing enough progress towards my goal, because again, if I'm aiming for 3 million and I'm at 1, it's just, okay, what's 2? What's 3? What's 200 compared to 2 million? A drop in the ocean. Because I'm not being rewarded by feeling like I'm getting closer to a goal, it's much more likely for me to be discouraged and stop in my quest. So in this respect, is it not better to have that goalpost moving as we go? In a way, it's okay, you have the grand ideal of I want to be strong and fit, right? But within that, okay, that's vague, as perfection should remain, I think, right? And then your goals within that journey should be precise. They should be we should be able to define those clearly, so that maybe for the next 3 months, my goal is to do 20 push-ups. I don't know. And then maybe it's 40. And then maybe it's, I add constraints as I go. But as long as I feel like I'm making progress towards my goal, I can foster this idea of good enough, because I could see the progress itself, the step one, step two, step three, step four. That allows me to believe in the quest itself. That allows me to, I'm not settling for a goal, but I'm seeing the progress. It is good enough. It is good enough. It is a bit better today than it was yesterday, or it is better this month than it was last month. And there is something from that I can extract that allows me to feel like it is good enough.
Good enough as a concept that I'm starting to warm up to, because I was a bit skeptical when we started this, and you're right, it is a little complex and we need to navigate through it as we're doing now. But I would imagine it would work if you realize that good enough is every step, and it's all the steps, but not all good enoughs are created equal. The good enough of here that you set, that is next to the unattainably perfect, hopefully, is just one step. But you have it as a milestone that is larger than the one step here, that is the one push-up. But not all good enoughs are created equal. But you have milestones that you do, posts that you do, rest stops that you do. Let's say you're climbing Everest. If you just
base
simplify it and just draw it out a little bit, you draw this mountain that has this peak. If perfection is what you're going for, it's standing on a peak that you just can't stand on, theoretically. It just has such a sharp peak. No one can get to the peak, but you reach the top, you reach the mountaintop. If you're 50 feet below, it's the last place where human beings can act, unless you're that goat that hangs, you just can't do it.
Those mountain goats are cool.
And just, you're going to tell me, no, I have a harness and it's just a thick sheet of ice, I can get there. Okay, but just for the sake of argument.
It's an arbitrary point. You can't really
get to
the peak,
but you can get to 50 feet. This is good enough. It doesn't mean that nothing here is good enough. Every step
that you take. Stay with me, Louis.
Every step that you take is a goal and it's a milestone. And then you have rest areas of like where you stop and rest. And that's a post of good enough. That's it. That's a milestone. And you should have a few milestones. And each and every one of them, you're looking up and it's closer, and you're looking down and you've made so much progress. Right? Every single way. Every single step of the way. Maybe for some, one push-up is the first milestone.
You're okay, Louis. You're okay.
And those people, maybe 2 months ago, they were looking at themselves.
You just be ready to intervene. Morning.
Easy love.
You're okay, Louis. You're okay. Yeah. Shh, 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 shh.
That dog.
Passive aggressive howling.
No barking. Louis, be nice, baby.
It's in his mouth.
Easy love.
You're okay.
Hello, say hello. No. No. And when they get to doing one push-up, when 2 months ago, all they were doing is nothing, or all they could possibly do is one that is against the wall. They look at where they were, and they made progress. But they always, if you're climbing Everest, right, you, it's not bad to set a goal here when you know it's so overwhelming and unattainable. You want to see, you want to not see it, but have that milestone. And you have a bunch of milestones.
And you have to have a breakdown that's
you have to, but they're all good enough.
Within our field of vision, the problem is we're not, we can't extrapolate indefinitely into the future, right? So you want to have those milestones that are visible to you from your vantage point. You want to be able to see the goalpost as you are, as you approach it. It just, that ideal has to exist. That grand scheme of things has to exist. And again, a little paradoxically, the, you know, you have to adapt to our field of vision, which is very limited, right? You have to adapt to a field of vision that allows for you to see the progress that you're making. Because if you are always gauging everything by the grand scheme of things, you're not going to be able to sustain that pursuit. You're okay,
so
Louis.
We need that.
Stop. Louis, stop, baby, stop. Hey, buddy, hey, buddy.
So it's almost okay. Like, same, we have to walk and chew gum at the same time. These milestones are arbitrarily set in a way where you're just putting milestones that almost like the flag that helps you see the golf hole.
Okay, okay, Louis, sit. You're okay, buddy.
Easy, stop, easy, easy.
He's very agitated today.
Yeah, I mean, I bet he's going through a rough time.
I know. Yeah, so.
You have to understand that it's just a step. You put that flagpole there arbitrarily as a milestone. Even the last good enough towards the attainable, it's just one step. Mm. That's all it is. And I know it feels good when you get to the flagpoles. Mm. There's that, the psychology of it all. And why not? Take that in. Mm. You know, take a break. Look at where you were. Go back to where you were. See how far you've come. If you're climbing a mountain, the rest stop, when you look down, it's, oh, I was all the way down there. And here's where I am. And then you look back up, you're like, no, I can do this. Mm. Just have to keep going, step by step. And every step is good enough. This flagpole is a flagpole of a good enough that I arbitrarily put in here, so I can continue my way. Mm. It's like that headlight analogy.
Mm. Right? I've thought about that so many times
Going to California from Alabama at night, in the middle of the night, you recognize it. Okay, you're only seeing 30 feet ahead of you, 40 feet ahead of you at any given moment if you take a snapshot, but you trust that the next 40 feet will get there. And this, and transversing these 40 feet are good enough for now, for this moment. It's all I see, but I know it's good enough. And I trust that if I continue these little snippets of good enough, you'll paint your movie and you'll get to your goal. But they're all gonna, every single step,
they have to coexist.
They have to, it's all one entity.
Just they have to coexist. Those lenses have to coexist. I have to be able to project this far out to my ideal, just to set that as my ideal, just to imagine it as my ideal. And I have to be able to break it down into chewable bits that I can digest, that I can manage.
Breaking things down help us. That's what it is. We commit to the really good enough that is our version of the peak, that is right. Perfection. Mm. We commit to that. But, okay, this is our ultimate goal for this ladder, let's say, as we get up on our structure. This is some version of our ultimate goal that we drew here because we know we grew to get to what's somewhat attainable. I know I can learn French, as ungraspable as it is to me now, as far as that is to me today, I know if I commit, I can learn French. Mm. That good enough is so intimidating. But I know I can get there. I can commit to this. Mm. And if I commit to it, and I then, that's what matters to me. But if I then take the one step at a time, what are the units of good enough for me? And then what are the milestones that'll help me celebrate? It's almost like the AA. And if you want to get to sobriety, you know that having a week, an hour, you get a medal. That's just an arbitrary line in the sand that you drew, and you should feel good and you should celebrate the 9 months. You should, but your intent is to never go for that drink again.
But I have a question. There's something I haven't been able to resolve. So if I'm here right now, wherever I am in my journey, is it easier? I don't know about easier, but I guess the way I see it right now is that some people, to some people, it's easier to just imagine the next step and then take it, the next step in the dark, where I don't really know where I'm going. I don't really, do I have, in other words, my question is, do I have to have that ideal exist somewhere and defined somewhere in order to take a next step? Or Absolutely. Is the next step...
What are you taking? If you're analogy that we use, if I'm going upstairs, or if I have the headlights from Alabama to California, you have to set the destination. You have to put it on that.
So that,
know, the maps, Apple Maps, this is, are we sponsored, or Google Maps? We have to put it on. We have to have a destination. How could you have a first step? Towards what?
Okay. Towards a bit better than today.
Towards, but you, like, when you say, assume, you cannot say towards without a direction. And maybe the good enough, maybe you just have the unattainable perfect and you haven't drawn
a line. Maybe
the
unattainable perfect at this point is step two. Maybe it's reduced to that step.
I'll use the Bear Grylls when he's in the survivor mode. They throw him in some desert or some rainforest somewhere and he has to tackle a few bears and eat a few larvae to reach civilization. And he tells you, like, venture, does he say west? He always like, just go west.
Why? As a rule?
And I could be wrong. But yeah, I don't know why. Or
is
once you get
go
to
in a direction, go left, in one direction.
Until you hit certain like milestones that you know will get you.
The river.
Yeah, exactly. So like you have an idea of where you are. And then you know, if I'm in here in the forest, I know if I'm in the Amazon and I get lost, like I should know based
you
on my
head
studying
in one
of a
direction.
Map to like a few miles west, there is a river stream.
How would you know that? You're supposed to know that? No way.
If you're lost, if you're hiking in the Amazon, you better have had like an idea of where did I start.
But they just dropped him off at a random place.
Yeah, but
so he doesn't have
it's
an
not
idea.
Random. He knows where he's going.
The
going,
point
they're dropping
is
him off
to not, don't start in a direction. Don't go in circles. Very important.
Yeah.
The worst thing, that the thing that will kill you is to go in circles.
And maybe West is arbitrary.
So commit to a direction. Mm. And then go with it. You're going to hit something eventually, right? With your luck, it might be 10 minutes from now, it might be 6 days, it might be a month, but you will hit what you're calling a milestone, where it's like a hint of civilization, right? From a road to a river
if
that
I
you
just,
will follow
if
downstream.
I just do whatever it takes to go west, and I make sure I'm not screwing that up. Mm-hmm. That is a flagpole that I trust to get me to a canal, to a river, to something that I can then follow towards civilization. And the good enough is survival. The good enough is to get to a home or a town or someone.
It's to not die.
With Wi-Fi.
It's to not die.
It's to not
is
die.
Is it not
right?
That? It's so not. It's just like evolution's left. Good enough.
So,
it's to
so
not
in
die.
In that sense, then you have to have something set that you're working towards. It's like, how much ambiguity can you go with? I don't know. There is some ambiguity to, okay, I don't want to survive and I don't want to draw this as, no, I want to get to a house on a railroad that has Wi-Fi. No, I want to survive. I just want to get to a human being. Or I want to get to a place that can take me home. I don't really have to have something specific here. But at least this flagpole of West, that is a good flagpole, is defined. Then you're, right? Then you have to have, but you have to have something that it might, you may have a freedom of ambiguity here, but you work your way back to something that is solid.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work
that's
your way back to something
that of
is
the next
solid,
step.
That isn't ambiguous, right? But it's just, then you trust the headlights to get you to here. And then this starts solidifying and it starts shaping up. But there has to be something. You can't just start, I'm going to do one push-up. What are you doing?
Okay. In our building the structure, in you building the life that you want, you have to have a certain idea of your future self at the peak. However vague it has to be at this point, and it probably will be at the beginning. However vague it has to be, however imprecise that is, you have to have a sort of idea of what that person looks like, is doing, is what that person is aspiring to. You must have an idea of that entity, of your future self. Let's talk about that a bit. Let's talk about how to overcome the obstacles.
We have like 10 minutes left, 15 minutes left.
No, we could do another 20 minutes.
Okay.
But we started a bit late by the time we set up.
To go potty.
Okay. So I wanted to bring up the idea of the future self and the obstacles to defining those attributes, the obstacles to imagining this entity. There are so many of them, and it's very difficult. We all have different scopes, different lenses, and it's very difficult for some people to project onto the future and to commit to specific attributes that they want their future selves to have, because first, it means that you have to give up on other attributes, okay? Because a lot of us live in the land of, I could be anything, I could do anything. No, you can't. You could be like five things. Right? You can't be a million things. But we like the idea of the second you define something, you're taking away from the potential to actualize this, right? You have to convert some of that potential energy into actual physical kinetic energy so that you're actually reducing your potential. And a lot of us just hang on to the idea of our potential as our holy grail of, I have all this potential.
So and just to rephrase over, like, I don't want to poop on people's parades with the you can do anything, no you can't. I agree with you, but it's just as a from a rephrasing, with all your potential energy you can do anything, but you can't do anything anywhere all at once. You
have limited resources.
You have to, you can't, if you want to do, you can do anything, but you have to pick. Like, you can do anything, but you can't do it all. Right?
Or like, you don't have as a comfortable as choice of not
energy.
Doing any.
Keeping
any
in
of
mind
it.
Entropy and how much energy you have to waste to get to the kinetic.
It's a donkey that's equidistant from the in the desert. There's water and there's a tree with fruit. Hmm. And the donkey just dies.
He's an idiot. Go with the water first.
Always go with the water first. But he's a donkey. That's why it's a donkey, not a human being. But it's this idea that I want to hang on to both. And you wanting to hang on to the idea, not to both, to the idea of both. And you wanting to hang on to the idea of both means that you get neither. Right?
It's a cheaty problem.
You have to sacrifice something in order for anything to concretize. What do you sacrifice? Yeah, I can be all those things. In theory, and it's less and less true as you age, but in theory, the highest potential you have is when you are born or when you're pre-born. When you are born, the second you are born, from there your potential starts to decrease as you start using up that energy towards actual things, towards actual pursuits, right?
And there are things
like
that
if I'm spending 6 hours a day playing violin for 17 years, chances are I'm not also training to become a professional soccer player. There are those trade-offs that we must make. This is the realm of trade-offs. Everything that I do means that there is a just almost infinite number of things I am not doing, right? That's a major obstacle to coming up with this idea of a future self. There are a lot of things that we
have
to let go.
There are a lot of obstacles, and we have to let go. And we mentioned you identify the perfect. If you want to learn the violin, you identify the what a perfect violinist looks like, sounds, behaves, whatever it may be. And you want to learn the violin. We talk about the good enough being like really close to the perfect, but maybe that's wrong now in light of what you mentioned. If you're a professional soccer player, or if you're Einstein, but you want to learn the violin on the side, because I'm pretty sure a professional soccer player, if he has a musical mind and he developed it somewhat compared to Gattuso, who's not a violin player, right? It'll help you. Playing the violin helped Einstein and his developing his formulas.
Yeah,
right?
He wasn't writing symphonies. He wasn't Beethoven.
Exactly. He wasn't.
That wasn't his goal.
And that's not, the good enough for him is not necessarily the perfection. It's close to here, right? But that's given your potential energy when you're drawing up your whole entire structure. Mm. It doesn't have to be here for everything. But you should have at least a few. Your main crafts should be very close to here.
What do I need to master? What do I want to master? Right? And this has to be a choice that you make based on some natural inclinations, right? There is that uncomfortable conversation of natural inclinations and talent, because it's a lot easier for us to believe that everything is just hard work. That if you see this prodigy that's just amazing at his craft, it's just, yeah, he worked hard for it. And it makes us feel better, because I think that if I worked hard, or if I started training early, I would also have this, I would actualize in this manner, and I would have this sort of talent. But no, that's not really true.
I don't know.
I don't think it's necessarily true.
I haven't developed a conclusion to that, right?
I believe in natural inclinations.
Who's the dude that
I like grand three chess master.
Yeah. Three daughters and they're all chess prodigies.
I'm not saying hard work doesn't get you anywhere.
No, but he was trying to prove that talent is...
Yeah, I know, but that's not enough.
I'm not going to be LeBron James.
That's not enough. That anecdotal evidence is just not good enough to sway me into thinking that there is no such thing as natural inclination, that there is no such thing as natural talent.
But now, this anecdotal that being evidence, said, there's like, a lot it's of the nurture. Only thing that actually, like, he went for it. It's not anecdotal in the sense that, it's part of a statistical formula of millions of people that you can pick out and have. Nobody tested it. But
yeah, it's certainly a wrench in the theory.
So it's a valuable anecdote.
It's valuable. And maybe we can discuss that tangentially further.
Tangentially.
It would be interesting to talk about this, to explore it outside of this. But right, again, going back to this idea of setting up the parameters for your future self, of imagining a version of you that is ideal, which is not to say that it's a version of you that is perfect in every attribute or in every aspect of life, right? A ideal version of you is not a version of you that is perfect in every sense of the word. That's not what we're trying to do. And a lot of times with your table analogy, it seems
like... unattainable?
Don't think like that, because maybe you're... perfect version of you is someone who can play the guitar good enough to entertain the people around him.
It's not being we had talked about that. There's always the unattainable. There's always the unattainable. It doesn't hurt to think about that, but when you think of what you're good enough for that specific ladder is, for that specific routine or habit.
Did you have for my coffee?
No. I poured in here from this twice.
So how is that a no?
Not sure. Okay. It's good enough. You define what's good enough, and that good enough should definitely not be ideal. And for some, if the violin is something that you want to master, mm-hmm. then good enough should be very close to that ideal, that mm-hmm. unattainable perfect, the perfection. But if it's just to entertain guests or to get a date, maybe good enough is somewhere in the middle. Mm. Maybe it's closer to where you are now. But only you, it's up to you to define what good enough is for a certain ladder. And feel free to always move it and evolve it. Maybe you started with, I want to learn the violin, here's the ideal, and here's where I am, and my good enough is to entertain guests. But as your journey progresses, you fall in love. And now you really want to be here. It's more than okay, you're starting. It's not like you were going through the wrong, you're going...
That's fine.
You're climbing up the wrong tree. And... when you set your structure, even your ideal self, the holistic picture, is going to be ambiguous and it's going to be vague and perhaps intimidating because
it's tough. So, that's the right word, intimidating.
The steps on one ladder and the breakdown mm-hmm. and the breakdown that UDOS aspires to and encourages folks to jump in on is the breakdown that we have. There are patterns of routines that we know we want to have. Forgetting the ladders, let's start with the three sides of the pyramid. You want to be healthy on the side of health. People, when they think about their future selves, I'm pretty sure you don't want to be a lazy person who's unhealthy. And I'm sorry to say this, but in the traditional sense, right? You don't have a lot of stored energy ready for hibernation, fit for hibernation. You don't want that. You're not hibernating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you want to be healthy. So easy to aim towards.
There are things we can all... The beauty about the patterns is that we can do it all together as a community. And we can talk about the benefits to that, and the jet fuel that gives you. Because when you're fighting sloth, a community provides, is on the side of force. When you started this push-up journey, this ladder that is push-ups, and you're doing it with a bunch of people, when you don't show up, that shame is helpful.
Yeah.
And when you show up, and you guys all do it together, and we exercise together, and we're all sweaty, and we've gone through a lot, and we're taking these steps to get there, and we reach certain flagpoles and milestones that we set on, as we call rankings, together, you may not know what your future self wants to be. If you can be healthy, and you can be more connected spiritually, for example, and you're building on the side of wealth, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. And when you figure out, when you solidify your ideal self, right, that opportunity, when it comes, it's going to find, when it knocks, it's going to find you at work.
That's Picasso. When inspiration comes, it must find you working.
Yeah. And we know, and what can be less intimidating, it's like, oh, I don't know what my future, I think of myself in 5 years, I don't know where I want to be, I don't know what I had for breakfast 2 hours ago. Fine. Here's a few things we can do together. And they're going to make you better, guaranteed. A healthier person, we're talking about physical health, is a better person. If you're working with me towards this flagpole that is doing a push-up with both feet in the air, that's one of a few things on the health side, right? If you're more flexible, you're talking joint health,
balanced,
strength,
you're more stronger, balanced, you're
doing better. If you're on the meditative side, if you're just like, you're quieter, you're calmer, you're right, it's going to help you. And you'll establish a sense of community. When you go through certain milestones and reach certain milestones with a few people, it's a bonding exercise. And that's good for you too, especially in today's world. But so you don't have to know what your future is, and what you don't have to know what a bunch of good enoughs are. You define a few that, even if you have nothing that is unique to you yet defined, even if there's nothing, follow our patterns. There are patterns that are, on the human level, we can all follow for towards better.
They're universally better.
Yes. Like, and there are variations to all. You don't need to do 10 push-ups with both feet in the air to be healthy. You can define your own health. If it's on the health side, define your own ladder, define your own goals.
If you want to be fit, okay, so I'm that's the ideal, you. But then you have to break it down. And you're doing the work of, okay, you want to be fit, so you're breaking it down into manageable steps so that you can get on that journey. And I find that it's a bit liberating. Just again, the concept of good enough is, to for me, it's a liberating concept, right? That every step of the way, it's really not perfect. When we started these conversations, and I still tell you this, first of all, it took a very long time to start because we weren't ready. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know if I'm, but then you start and it's okay. We talked about the first podcast and you're like, how do you feel about it? I'm like, yeah, it was okay.
We literally started and there's a lot more.
Seriously, but it's like even our flow, and we're learning. This is good enough. It's not great, but it's good enough. It's good enough, and it's so much better than not doing it. It's miles better than not doing it. So that's what I call a liberating concept, because it allows you to get shit done, even if it's not perfect.
And the beauty.
But another one, just to go back to what you were saying, is that when you commit to your future self, however intimidating it is, part of another liberating concept is that don't commit to 3 million things. Just commit to one thing. Start with one thing that you know is going to make you a better person, is going to make you a more productive, a more rounded, a more healthier person, whatever it is. Pick one thing and start. Right, you don't have to have these things fully defined. I struggle to have these things fully defined. But like you said, there are some things that no matter what, they are going to make your life better. And you could just follow that. And one more thing to piggyback on is having a network of people. That's also something that is non-negotiable in a way, because you want people around you to push you. You want people around you to set those high expectations so that when you fail, you have someone to disappoint. And I know that's hard, and nobody wants to disappoint anybody. But I really hope that we all have someone in our lives to disappoint. That's not cutting it. You're better than that. You need someone. When you stop believing that you're not, when you stop believing that you're better than that, you would hope that you have a network, a net underneath you of people, a community that is, hey, you're right here. You need to be right here. And as hard as it is to hear that wake-up call that, hey, you failed. Let's go. Let's do it again. This is the best thing that could happen to you.
And this is how I was very skeptical when you brought up you wanted to have this conversation centered around good enough and commitment. But I'm warming up to it and warming up to the concept of good enough, not just being within one routine or one ladder and every step being good enough and the milestones of good enough and the good enough that is next to the what's attainable, what's at your most, the closest to the peak of what your mastery is, but also good enough in the holistic picture of, okay, I don't know what my Achilles version, what my potential is, and living up to my full potential is in that ideal, the top of my structure, my future self. I don't know what it is, how I'll be living. But starting with one or two habits is good enough. And that being, having the ambiguity of better. I want to be better. I want to be a good, maybe healthier, wealthier, more connected to myself, to others, to God. And it's just as ambiguous as better. It's the focus is well-being, your overall well-being, and I mean, you just want to be better. And that's all you need. Two episodes ago, our discussion, our question, the forum question we had was on it's about time. And having, okay, how much free time do you have? Per week, let's calculate how much time on average you're working per week, work for income. How much time you're spending sleeping, and ideally how much you want to, and then how much time you're doing all your responsibilities and all your duties, from taking out the garbage to walking the dog to go visiting your mother, whatever it may be. And then you're left with, out of the 168 hours of the week, you're left with free time. It's not that, oh, you want to get towards better and you want to have a bunch of habits. Let me fill these 60 hours or whatever you have left of free time. You don't want to fill them. No, just
don't overdefine.
Take one habit, three times a week, or every day. That it's 30 minutes a day, right? Take 3 hours extra of those 60 free time of hours, and do one thing. And to make it even easier, through membership with us, that is as easy as it is free. But you don't even have to have a ladder. If you don't know, it's so ambiguous. If you're the better version of myself is so ambiguous that you can't even think of one habit that is unique to you. The ease of, okay, we have a couple of things that you can do that we know is better for you on the health side, on the Haida. Come join us for this meditative session, this exercise session,
this budget building,
coming up with your free time, all these tools, all these questions, all these discussions. Just build a community. Spend 30 minutes a day with us just
one
talking.
Thing. Just focus on one thing. And then from there, you'll open up your horizon just a little bit, just enough to maybe commit to something else. Don't overcommit. Don't commit to too many things. Don't commit to one thing too much where you're going to start with, okay, I'm going to do 5 hours a day. No, calm down, right? You're right here. Let's do next step two.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't go from 0 to 5 hours of anything. Mm. That's just not going to happen, right? It has to be managed within my lifestyle. It has to fit within my lifestyle. I have to enable, my environment has to enable that change in a way. I have to restructure certain things, but don't overcommit. Don't commit to too many things. Don't overcommit to that one thing and see where it goes from there. Believe in the power of incremental, small incremental change. Believe that it will make you more resilient, that as you become better within that one thing, you're also more likely to become better in many other ways. And as you prove to yourself that you can over time make significant change in your life, that's super empowering. Now I could do one other thing. Let's do, what else can I do? Okay, what's my next thing? Now this vision of my future self starts, maybe I have vague attributes, but it starts coming together, right? And it has pick some things you want to become, even though you don't know exactly what it is. I know my future self is someone who lives in a clean environment. Right? I know that those are things that you know, that you can define, and you're not over-defining them, but you have certain attributes that you could just throw out there to just begin this vague image of your future self. But it requires work. It requires also another difficult thing, and I know you want to wrap up, so I'm also wrapping up, is that you have to accept certain limitations, and that's key. Part of why we don't define, part of why we don't project onto the future, part of why we don't define, again, going back to this idea of potential, is that now I have to be honest about what I can do, and I have to be honest about what I cannot do. And that's a very difficult conversation for you to have with yourself. It's a very difficult thing to confront your own limitations. I'm just not very good at this. Maybe that's just not my forte. I need to give up on this dream, or I need to... I have an older brother who, until he was 29, he was still dreaming of being a professional soccer player. It's preposterous, right? It's preposterous, because as good as dreaming is, well, now it's taking away from life, and then you start your life at 30 with nothing because you were consumed by that one dream that long ago had become impossible. So there is a, yeah, okay, I have to accept that I'm not good enough to become a professional violinist at this point. I'm not good enough to become a professional soccer player. Okay, I have to come to that realization as I'm building that structure, as I'm building that vision for my future self.
Delusion is something you have to, you must battle in all aspects of your life, and that's part of the ego whispers, and it's part of the wanting you to fail. And there are a lot of ways, and we go back to not underestimating Baudelaire's fool, right? Not underestimating ego and Satan and the sophistication of the whispers and manipulation. And even you might think, oh, your ego wants you to fail and it wants you to stay comfortable. So it tells you, oh, don't get up, don't do this thing. But it may fail you by having you start 3-4 things at the same time because you're so excited. You thought, like, a lot of times I think about where I want to be and I start like building an image of who I am and I start racing in the hallway because my dopamine is up. Like, I want to get started. I want to get started. Come on, let me get going. I want to do this and that. And you don't realize that you're very likely to fail. And he's pushing you to start everything everywhere all at once because this is how you fail. And you might think, no, this is what's best for me. If I do it all, what's best for me? It's who I am. This is myself. This is the force. This is jet fuel. This is on the side of this rocket helping me escape this gravitational pull. Mm. And no, this is the gravitational pull dressed as rocket fuel.
Yeah, yeah, there's a delusion to it. You're right. And it's certainly one of the many traps that as you go towards building your future self, you are going to find a lot of traps, and you are going to be fooled many times, and you are going to fail many times, as we continuously do. I'm constantly battling this idea of nothing is happening, I'm not setting up, but it's going to be, you have to brace yourself for all those failures. You have to brace yourself for all of those traps. And again, you're going to fall, right? It's very important that you acknowledge that you fell, that you understand how it went wrong.
How and why you fell.
And then you get back on track. You are always going to fall. This is the metaphorical fall of Adam and Eve that not only happened that one time in our evolutionary history, but it's happening all the time when we stray away from the path.
And don't focus on the shame.
Which you will feel.
As soon as Adam and Eve fell, they felt shame. It's like they saw their nakedness and shame. It's like if you focus on the shame and you're defeated and you're ashamed because you fell, and people are, even if people around you are pointing and laughing, throwing the cliche, throwing tomatoes at you as you walk, you get up and you get going.
The question that should guide you always, the question that I want to guide me always when I find myself at the bottom of that pit is, okay, how do I get back? Look around, how do I get back? I know I messed up, something went wrong.
Army.
Something went wrong. I've messed up. How do I get back? And as long as you have this compass that's stirring you back towards the path, I think you'll be okay. When the defining happens over time, it's just, you have to be patient, you have to be forgiving with yourself. And that's something that we all fail at. It's just very, again, easy. Everybody's so harsh with themselves. It's just the easiest thing in the world to be the harshest with yourself, right? How about we set a higher bar of, we're gonna fail, let's forgive ourselves, and let's arm ourselves against future failure. At least don't fail in the same way, maybe. At least be a bit more resilient next time, be a bit stronger next time, right? Let's aim for that and aim to truly and deeply forgive our failures, our shortcomings, our limitations, the ones we were born with, the ones we've put upon ourselves, the ones, all the mistakes we make. Okay, we forgive, get back on the path, do a bit better. And that's all we have. And the point of this whole discussion is maybe that's good enough. With all of our shortcomings, it's good enough. As long as you're trying, it's good enough.
I think this is good enough for now.
That's good enough for today, too, yeah.
I just can't. I have to run.
Okay, I got you.
All right, babe, good talk. 11:46.